M32. Number 4B.
Yes. So, can you see this is a matter really of consciousness, of the culture of consciousness, and therefore mostly we will handle a case from the level of Christian Science, because we ourselves are no angels yet and may not always be in that wonderful poise and rest and certitude and exalted sense where really only being, capital B, God being, is seen and felt. I would really say felt as the only reality. Therefore, we very much have to see where we are in consciousness and perhaps first work in the way that we get at ease within our consciousness, and only then really can we practice on these various levels. I think we come back to it again when we do the next column. The next column that will help us also in understanding what we said here, that we talk now about healing. Let's take the subject of healing. Now, again, we can ask ourselves how to approach the question of healing from the various levels. So we take the practical situation that we are faced, say, with a case of sickness, of bodily, concrete sickness, so that we really have the epitome of a sickness that is made manifest on the body, and it hurts, and it's dangerous according to material law. So how do we handle that from the various levels, if we are on that level? Huh? How do we handle it from the level of science itself? Yes? Yeah. So again, we have difficult question. Hmm? That from that level, from that consciousness, we see that nothing has to be healed. But again, as we had before, we just can't say nothing has to be healed and leave it at that, and leave it there. We have to fill our consciousness actually with the fact why there is nothing to be healed. And we can only do that by filling our consciousness to that extent where we see that in the realm of science itself, there is no possibility for being that is whole to fall away from perfection. Huh? So we actually do heal. Though we say there is nothing to be healed, we heal by seeing that the patient could never have become sick, that there is no possibility for wholeness to become sickness. That's how we handle it there. It isn't just saying, well, God does not know sickness, so there is nothing to be healed. There is actually nothing to be healed if we have established the fact that wholeness could never lose its perfection. So we know, on the level of science itself, we know perfection. We know the totality of perfection. We see the totality of perfection that does not know any imperfection, that does not know any cause of imperfection, that does not know any occasion to become imperfect, that does not know any law to become imperfect, that does not know, can you hear, does not know that something that is perfect could become imperfect. So in this way, we re-establish the original health of that case, and therefore are not treating disease, but we are establishing the impossibility for perfection to become imperfect, the impossibility of wholeness to lose its wholeness and become sick. Yeah. How then is the healing take place on the level of divine science. What happens when we heal in divine science, like Jesus did from time to time? First of all, I think it is instantaneous healing. Huh? Yes, that's the. Why is it instantaneous here? Yeah, and if you remember what we saw in error, what happens in regard to error on the level of divine science is excluded. Therefore, if it's excluded, it is instantaneously here. Huh? Again, you have what you like to see on the level of divine science. It's the isness of being, huh? The oneness, the beingness of being, and that excludes a possibility of sickness, and therefore through excluding, now it's excluding, huh, it heals instantaneously. So that's very much how Jesus healed, how Mrs. Eddy healed. It is unfortunately a way how we may not do it always, that for us it is rather the exception than the rule. So that in this way we begin to see that, just a moment, so we can see because error is excluded, therefore the healing, it must be instantaneous. That's how Jesus showed it. Because Jesus would, in most of the cases, work from divine science. And so, Mrs. Eddy. Yeah. We could also see something else on this level of divine science in regard to healing. If divine science is the oneness of being, okay, all right, again we start. I said before, we have a situation in divine science, we have the sense of the oneness of being. It isn't a sense of the specific truth, it's a sense of the allness, of the all-in-all, the all-inclusive. Therefore, the healing on that level would also show itself forth in a specific way, in a very wonderful way, that the healing practice here is quite different. What would it imply if we are in the consciousness of oneness?
No time and no space.
No time and no space. No specifics, therefore what? Yeah? You see, that's what Jesus did. He could heal the multitude. That is, that's the oneness, huh? The all-in-all. That he not only was concerned with healing specific cases and dealing with specific cases and show in many cases the spiritual attitude that he took, the specific error he was rebuking in a situation, but very often the Bible shows that this consciousness which Jesus had, which was an all-in-all consciousness, a divine consciousness, would, so to say, correct any error that was reaching out for his help. So he healed the multitude. Well, how does it apply to us? And here you see very easily what we said before in the last column, where we said, well, can we choose the level? And we said, no, we can't choose. It is a matter of where we are spiritually. If we are not on the level of divine science so securely embedded, so deeply rooted in the consciousness of divine science, we will not be able to heal the multitudes. Can you see that? Because that consciousness is the consciousness of the oneness of being, of the oneness of the universe. Therefore, it touches every error that reaches out for help. Therefore, we cannot choose on which level we are going to deal to treat a patient. It's dependent on our inward spiritual attitude. And that is something we cannot choose. That's something that has to be cultured, that has to grow, that has to grow up within ourselves. And as we said, even sometimes we touch this level and lose it again, and we have to culture it again in order to get it again. But more and more naturally, we spiral up into that consciousness and stay much longer there. Now, when the Bible says that Jesus healed the multitude, he did not heal the multitude, because he didn't heal the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and he didn't heal Herodias, and he didn't heal the Roman Empire, and he didn't heal all the other people that were not around. What he healed those that was longing for a healing, that reached out, that touched the hem of his garment. There was naturally in that multitude, there were people who really were longing to be healed. Those who did not long to be healed, who were not there, they were not touched by Jesus' consciousness, as we know. And from there, we must deduce for our small effort that we are able to give. We must also see now in which way does that apply to us. And I think what you will experience is this, more and more, that in that measure, as we touch the level of divine science in consciousness, and here and there we touch it, we actually do. And therefore, the more we watch over our consciousness, that we don't get too much irritated by the world and by the patients and by what's happening around about us, and let ourselves be misused by mortal mind, and can really stay in the oneness of being, where we see that nothing is going on but God working out of itself, through itself, as itself, and for itself, and stay there and really get our inner peace and a sense, and we feel really the touch of that. I think we experience really in a small way already that healing of the multitude. Namely, that somehow we touch, without treating specifically a various situations that need to be corrected, that need to be specifically well healed, that we touch consciousness of everyone that reaches out for our help, and it does something to them. And we see that more and more happening. That I would say that there is that real, true, sincere longing for the real science, for the real sense of divine science in the student. He can get that help and get that, let's say, help or healing without that he's treated specifically. I think this is happening more and more. Therefore, you can say this is also the level where we heal the world. Well, the world does not even know us, does not phone us, does not write letters to us and say, help me. The whole world, the material world, is a counterfeit of that one universe which we have here, of the oneness of mind. And within that material universe, there is a great longing of many people for salvation, for resurrection, for spiritual exaltation, for a higher sense of being. There is a great longing there. And therefore, we heal them and help them by staying as much as we can on the level of divine science. That goes out over oceans and continents, and it touches those mentalities that reach out for that truth. No matter if they know that it is Christian Science or not, no matter if they know that there are Christian scientists or not, but it is all a matter of inward attitude. Those millions in the world that are not going along with materialism and all that, but that really want to exalt themselves, they can be touched by our consciousness on that basis here. That divine science is universal, has a universal treatment, heals universally, heals the multitude, heals every consciousness that reaches out for it. And so in that way we begin to see that we are world practitioners, that really our job should not be confined just to be there for the call of a few people who know that we are practitioners, and for a few people who are too lazy to work out their own problems, or too busy to work out their own problems, who do not want to take their time to work out their own problems, who are afraid to stay up once a night and work it through and fight it out until it's much nicer to go to sleep and let the practitioner stay awake all night. That's much easier. This is not our job. You know, this is professionalism. This is not to be a scientist. To be a scientist and heal as a as a divine scientist, to heal here as a divine scientist, is to be consciously aware of the oneness of being and see that error is excluded, that error is excluded in that consciousness. And if that has not the healing effect, what on earth should have a healing effect? I don't know what should have it. But naturally, we must be also quite happy not to be thanked for. The world will not turn to us and then write to us and say, we are very happy and very grateful that you have done this and that for the world. It will not do that. They may not know us. They will not know us. We have to stay within the oneness of being, where in divine science God works not only out of itself, not through, only through itself, not only as itself, but for the glory of God itself and not for our glory. That's where our work lies mostly. When we are really living up to the ideal that Mrs. Eddy presented. So we would come further down to absolute Christian science and now see what kind of healing takes place on the level of absolute Christian science. Yes? So it would be the preventive art of healing. Yeah? So it's still healing, but it's preventive. And that is really one of the important aspect of Christian science. Why always get first ill so that we can prove Christian science? Why not prove Christian science by not getting ill? This should really be the sign that we have understood something about Christian science. Is not that we heal instantaneously always, but that we don't get sick, that we don't get into trouble. That would be a better proof. I also, actually that has nothing to do, but it just crossed my mind, and sometimes one says it when it crossed my mind. Just before I left Europe, you know, we have terrific riots in Zurich. Everybody was most surprised. And it was interesting to see how many problems came up which we were not thinking about. One problem was that those young people said to us, to the establishment, now you say that Switzerland has the best medical care of all the countries in Europe. We have more doctors per 100 people than any other country. Isn't that a shame for a country? It's a real shame. You need so many doctors to heal what you break down. Your country, you should run the country so that we don't need doctors. You should keep your young people so healthy that they don't need doctors. This is no great standard. This is no big deal to have more doctors than other countries. It only shows that you don't know how to keep a country healthy. And there is something in it. There's much in it. And we get so blinded sometimes by these false standards. No, they say that. Yeah. Yeah. They said it. Yeah. I didn't think of it either. But when they said it, I really thought, gosh, they have something there. But as an argument, you know, I think it's a good argument. Okay, we go further to the next to the next level. We come to the level of Christian Science. And here now the healing is concerned with what? Concrete error. Yes, with the healing of concrete error. It's the healing, the actual physical healing practice, the therapeutic practice, yes. Yeah. Why is it on that level? Now we have to reason out why it is on that level, why not on another level? And you reason it out through the categories. Yeah. How do you do that? Yes, the Christian Science has to deal with the human problem, huh? So there must be showing the relationship between these opposites. The opposite is actually spiritual health and physical disease. And so on this level, therefore, the relationship between the spiritual idea or health and the physical disease is under consideration. It must show the mechanism of how truth can precipitate itself on error and how it can change error into truth. Yeah. But that we have seen when we did the 12th chapter, where the healing process and the healing mechanism was explained in detail. Okay, that brings me just to the end of the hour. We make a break here.